everyone, and welcome to our time of family worship. It's great that you're able to join with us today. I'm Guy, and I'm here with Andrew today. Andrew, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's nice to see you.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah.
How's your week been ticking along?
Well, it's kind of recovered, really. I was getting, it sounds like a sad thing to get cross with blackbirds, but I reseeded a part of our back garden, having a bit of a battering after some work we'd done. And a mummy and daddy blackbird had continually rummaged around in my carefully prepared topsoil and my seed, and I was getting most cross with them. But there's a transformation, because I was just cutting some timber up this week under a tree, and as I paused, I heard the very distinctive sound of baby blackbirds chirping away. So I've forgiven mummy and daddy, and the grass has grown now, so everything's turned out just fine.
So you felt slightly chastened, did you, and comfortable in the knowledge that your seed was helping new life?
Well, yes, there you go. What can you say? Yes. Yeah, that was lovely. Lovely to hear the sound. So
yeah, and my thoughts this morning have been in the area of new life as well. Perhaps particularly thinking of those who are dads for the first time, the excitement of that in those homes, some folk in our church family who will be enjoying that today. Some of us in our own families have had the experience of children born throughout this year and elsewhere, and just the excitement of that. So on this Father's Day, I've been thinking about those who are kind of doing this for the first time. But it does make me wonder, how do those babies manage to pick that card? I mean, where do they get out to get those presents that are just so acceptable? I don't know how they manage to do that.
The skills are impressive. Sadly, the skills are kind of fade as you get older, don't they? And you end up choosing the completely inappropriate card as you get older. But certainly a good skill and very impressive.
Well, it's good to be together, and we come to worship, and we're going to start by, or continue in our time with prayer, and Guy's going to lead us now.
Our loving Father, we thank you that you have created us. We thank you that you are the Father of all mankind, but most especially, you have this amazing and wonderful relationship with those who are your children, who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the Father's love, which we experience in our own hearts every day. Father, we thank you for your creative power. We thank you for your sustaining power. We thank you for your love. We thank you for that love which you have lavished upon us. And our Father, we thank you for all the blessings we have in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his coming to this world. We thank you for his death upon the cross. We thank you for his resurrection. We thank you for his ascension. We thank you for the transformation that he brings in our lives. We thank you, Father, for all that we have and enjoy in the Lord Jesus. And our Father, we thank you too for all that we have and enjoy in the precious and through the precious work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts as well. We thank you for his presence with us every day. We thank you for his changing work, transforming work in our hearts to make us more like the Lord Jesus, to make us more in his image. We thank you for the way that he helps us in our prayers, in the reading of your word, in our thinking, in our aspirations, in our desires. We thank you for the powerful and wonderful work of your Holy Spirit. And our Father, as we gather together for this time, we pray that you'd bless us richly. Father, we might be apart, but we thank you for that sense of fellowship, that sense of union together, that sense of doing this thing together, of being in worship together. And we pray that you'd richly bless this time to us. Help all who have a part to play today, we pray. And bless this time to us, we ask. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, at this point, we're going to have some visitors. We're going to be joined by Omar and Gigi for another installment. And let's see what they get up to today.
Hi, Gigi.
Hi, Omar. Have you had a good week? What have you done to your head?
Good. Well, I won't say good.
Why? What happened?
Well, I haven't been very good this week.
Oh, no, Omar. What have you done?
Well, first I didn't tidy my bedroom when my mum asked me to.
That's not good.
Then I shouted at my mum, but she told me off for not tidying it.
Oh, Omar.
That's not all. I also ate all of the big bar of chocolate my mum had bought to make chocolate cookies.
You have had a bad week.
I know, and I feel really bad. My mum was really upset with me, and I think God is too.
God? Why?
Because after I finished eating the chocolate, I turned round and banged my head on the cupboard door. So now I have a big bruise and bump on my head.
Ouch, that sounds painful. But God won't be upset with you, Omar.
He is, I know it.
But Omar, we all do bad things all the time, every single day.
Shh, don't make it even worse.
All those bad things we do and that you have done this week are called sin.
Sin?
Yeah, and they make God sad.
See, I told you he was upset with me.
But God loves us so much, he will always forgive us, no matter what.
Really?
Yes, God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross.
Our friend died?
Yes, to save us, so that we can live forever with God in heaven, but he came back to life.
Wow, so it doesn't matter how big the sin is or how many times I sin, God will always forgive me.
Well, yes, but we should try to be good and not sin. We should try to live our lives like Jesus.
But he's a perfect superhero and I'm just little old me.
But you can try, Omar, and he will help you.
True, I will, from now on.
Great.
Jesus is so amazing, we should tell everyone about him.
Yes, especially as we can't go to church at the moment, we need to shout it out loud so everyone can hear.
We could sing it out loud and dance. I know some of our friends love singing and dancing too.
How about one about telling the world?
Brilliant, let's do it.
The world.
That was another brilliant song.
Yes, and a great one to dance to as well.
I think I'm going to go and draw a lovely picture to give my mum to say sorry for being bad this week.
That's a good idea. She will like that.
And I'm going to pray to God and ask for him to forgive me, just to make sure.
He definitely will. I'm going to go and read a book in my room with a drink and a biscuit.
Speak soon, Gigi. Stay safe.
Okay, Omar. You too. Bye.
Well, Guy, on this Father's Day, I've had a thought that came to me. It's been very front and centre, actually, and perhaps it's an unusual memory from when I was a child. I remember we had a family holiday up in the far north of Scotland, and it was the last day of the holiday, and it's one of those days, a bit weird, really. You all know you've got to get away, and yet people want to linger. And I think my mother, who particularly loved the Highlands of Scotland, I think my father thought it'd be nice just to have a final walk before we jumped in the car in order to go back to our home. And we went for a walk beside this river. It's called the River Inver. There's a little village called Loch Inver. And up beyond the River Inver, there's Loch Assynt, which is a loch about 6 miles long and about a mile wide. And it funnels into this river. And the water absolutely cascades in a torrent down through this river over rocks and rubble. It was very powerful and very, very impressive. And I was about 6 or 7 at this time. And it's quite a thought, actually, just to think that as a 6 or 7-year-old, all these years later, I can still remember something my father said. And I was probably, there was a footpath next to this river. We were strolling up as a family. I was little, I was dancing around and messing about. And I remember my father saying, "If you go in there, I'm not coming in after you." And you might think, well, that's not a very loving thing for a father to say, but it wasn't said in a harsh way. If you go in there, I'm not coming in there after you. And that was just enough. It was like a tug of the lead, really, just to sort of say, look, this is not safe. This is quite dangerous. Just watch what you're about. And occasionally I sometimes think to myself, well, if I did go in there, would he have come in after me? And even today, I'm still not sure. It really was a powerful river. And he couldn't swim. So I'm just sometimes wonder. But then I think, yeah, I think he might. But it was just the thought of just that simple little phrase, if you go in there, I'm not coming in there after you, that was just enough to calm down the situation and just be a reality check. And as you can see, we obviously came back safely from that trip and there was no problems. And, you know, as we think about dads today, and I'm so thankful for the dad that I had, as we think about them, you know, our thoughts can go in so many different ways, but my thought has gone in this direction of just thinking about the things that dads say to us that we remember that actually have been for our good. In the book of Proverbs, it talks here a lot about my son. And in Proverbs chapter 4, it says these words, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." So hear my words, keep sight of my words, build them into your heart, because it's from your heart that everything flows. And just as my father sought to give me good advice, God gives us the right advice in the Bible. And perhaps for all of us this morning, we just need to think about our Heavenly Father and the things he says to us, and taking to heart the things that he says, building them into our lives, because it's out of what's really stored inside that the rest of our lives flow from. So that's just one memory I had this morning. But would he have come in after me? Not too sure. Well, we're going to have a lovely song at this point. It's called The Father's Song. It's a lovely poem set to beautiful music that just takes us in to have a fresh appreciation of God's amazing love for us, the Father's love towards each one of us. So the words will be on the screen, and feel free to join in as we go.
that stands above them all. Father's song, the Father's love, you've sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony. You are singing over me, the Father's song.
That was a lovely song, and I hope that drew you into the Father heart of God and made you appreciate something of his amazing kindness to you in a fresh way this morning. We're now going to pray together, so please join me in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for that lovely song that has helped us so much this morning, that speaks to us so powerfully of your wonderful love for each one of us. We thank you that in the Lord Jesus you have shown us your love, that you loved the world so much that you gave your only Son, that you demonstrated your love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Father, we thank you this morning that you call us into your family, and that as members of your family, we remember that we should be those who bear your likeness, that your character should be seen in our lives, that more and more we should become more like you. Lord, please help us to do that in our lives. And Father, we thank you too that you're a God of compassion. We thank you that as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. We thank you for your patience and your kindness towards us. We thank you that even as your children, when we tend to wander away, you seek after us and you draw us back into your ways. And Lord, we thank you that you are the God who speaks. As we thought through that little incident that I shared a moment ago, we thank you that you graciously speak to us. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to take to heart the things that you say to us, that we will listen, that we'll keep our eye on those things, that we'll live the things that you tell us to do out in our lives, and that we might be those who guard our hearts. Father, today we do thank you for fathers. We pray, Lord, that you'll help them in the responsibilities that they have. We think of those this morning who have had the joy of becoming fathers in this past year. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to them and to their families. And we pray, Lord, that today they might know a great joy as they share together as families. And Lord, we do pray for fathers and for parents that you will help them in the responsibilities that you've given to them. Lord, we pray that you will give love and wisdom, patience and understanding. We pray, Lord, that our families might be places of joy. We know too, Lord, that sometimes the hard times come into our families. And Lord, we pray this morning particularly for those who are missing a loved one, who have that deep sense of loss, perhaps for the first time. Lord, we pray that in your mercy you will draw near to them and that you will strengthen them, but that they may be able to draw on good memories of better times. Lord, we pray too that you'll help us to honour our parents. We know sometimes, Lord, there have been challenges within family life which bring great strain. But we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to live in such a way that we do honour those within our family circle, and that in our family lives that we might show your love and your kindness to one another. So, Father, we just thank you for this special day, and we commit these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our reading today in our time of family worship is taken from the first letter of John and chapter 2. And we read just at the end of chapter 2 and into chapter 3. First letter, first epistle of John, chapter 2 and verse 28. You know, it'd be really good if you have a Bible at home, if you would like to follow the reading as I read it. It's always good to have God's word open before us and be feeding upon it. So I encourage you to do that. Maybe just pause this to go and find the Bible and then resume, and I'll read through this passage. So 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, and we read down to verse 6 of chapter 3. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. And we trust that God will bless that reading of his word to us as we think about it for a short while now. You know, today is Father's Day. If you're watching this live, and if you're watching on DVD a week later, then last Sunday was Father's Day. And there are many passages from God's word that I could have reflected upon, touching on this amazing theme as God as our Father, God as our Heavenly Father. And I rested on this, and particularly upon the first three verses of this amazing letter of John to the church that he was very fond of. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. That's how chapter 3 opens up, and they are tremendous, tremendous words. You know, in one sense, of course, God is the Father of all humankind. He is the creator, he is the source, he is the sustainer of life, and God is in that sense the Father of all. But the Bible is quite clear that something amazing happens to us when we come in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we trust him, when we repent of our sin and turn to him and come in faith and seek a new life with the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Something amazing happens to us, and that's this, that relationship of God as our Father is transformed. It's not just a creating, sustaining thing. It is now a very precious, a very personal, a very wonderful thing. And we have a sense of that here, don't we? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. John, writing his gospel, writes these words in chapter 1. He was in the world, this is speaking of Jesus, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born, and these are the key words, just thinking about that difference between God as the Father of all humankind and God as the Father of those who come in faith, the Lord Jesus. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. It speaks of something that has changed, something different in our lives and in our hearts. God is now our Father in a very different and very special and very precious way. And I just do love, and I read these words, and they just came afresh again to me. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. We could kind of almost pause at every one of those words and think about them for this morning. How great. We can think about God's love in very sort of general terms and think, yes, God loves me, and move on. But really it's good, I think, to reflect upon the greatness, the depth, the width, the height, the power, the intensity, the wonder of God's love for us. And perhaps when we doubt it, when things go wrong, and we just perhaps reflect for a moment on God's love, we come back to this, remind ourselves that God's love for us is great. So that which is in his heart, that which is in his heart for us is great. And more than that, he has, we're told, this a lovely word, lavished that great love upon us, made us his children, and loves us as his children. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. So there's a new birth when we come into this relationship with him, and the new birth then gives rise to new behaviors and to transformed lives, or at least it should, and that's what John says here. It's not just a question that God has loved us, and we go, oh, that's good, that's nice, I like that. That new birth, that new life, that relationship with God as Father then means that there is a consequence, there is a change in the way that we live. We begin to look different, not physically, but in the way that we conduct ourselves, the things that matter to us, the things that we do, the things that we don't do. God is remaking us in his image. One of my very favorite television programs, there's a bit of a joke at home that I normally only watch programs that involve either a ball or wheels. But I do also watch the Repair Shop on BBC, which is one of my favourite programmes. You may be familiar with it, you may not. If not, it's very simple principle to the programme. People bring things, possessions, artefacts that they've owned and loved, perhaps have been passed down through generations in their family, but things which have become are broken or fallen into disrepair or look very sad or tired or bits are missing. But these items have a special resonance with them in their hearts. They speak of a family member or experiences or memories, or something resonates in this item, and they bring it to this repair shop, which has so many gifted craftspeople who, with different skills, who take these objects and remake them. Often seems almost better than they were originally, and it's amazing. Well, it's amazing to me to watch, maybe not to others, but I love seeing the way these skilled people bring about transformation. Some of the most amazing transformations come when people bring in ceramic items, plates or bowls or very things that are fragile, that have been broken, and sometimes they're brought in a plastic bag full of pieces and handed over, and the lady who does the ceramic work somehow pieces all of these together, fixes them up, redecorate, paints them, brings them back to life, and the transformation from that which was broken and unrecognizable to that which is beautiful and something to behold is utterly amazing. Well, how did you do? And often that's the reaction of those who are the owners of these things. It was just shattered. How did you make it look so good? That's a picture, a tiny picture of what God is doing with us as our Father in remaking us in his image, in his likeness. God is remaking us. And just as that plate, that bowl can be put back out on display and people can go, wow, where did that's lovely. So God wants that transformation and change to be seen in our lives, in the way that we conduct ourselves. It's often said in our own culture, often slightly jokingly or disparagingly, that you sound, or you're turning into your mother or father. Something which we say or do, and family members say, you sound just like your father when you do that or say that. Maybe we ourselves have stopped ourselves suddenly thinking, whoa, I can hear one of my parents coming through something which I've just said. And we deal with that in a kind of jokey way. But actually, that is absolutely how it should be in our hearts and lives with God as our Father. We absolutely should be sounding and looking, not in a, obviously we can't become like God, but in our behavior, in our character, in our personalities, that we increasingly become like our Father. That's a good thing. That's a good thing to aspire to in our hearts and lives. And John does warn us here, as he did in his gospel as well, that in being changed, those around us might not might not get this. They might not understand it. It might seem a mystery to us. Why? We say, well, I can't do that anymore. I won't go to that place, or I won't do that thing. And people watching in are baffled. And John says, well, that's absolutely to be expected. They don't know your father, your spiritual heavenly father. They won't understand. And that's perfectly, perfectly normal. John gives us too in this passage a motivation, a reason for why we should want to become more like our Heavenly Father. And it's about the future hope that we have. Dear friends, in verse 2, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The theologians have a phrase, goes something like this, I'll paraphrase it. It's now and not yet. And it basically means this, that the Christian life has a sense of the now and the not yet. There is a sense in which we are his children now. We are his children now. And we're being transformed in his likeness now. But actually, that's an ongoing work which will only find its real, complete, and total fulfillment when we are with him in glory. There's a not yet peace. There's a peace still to be fulfilled in our hearts and lives, and we have a sense of that. Here we are work in progress, but we should be work in progress. And what is the motivation for that? Why should we want to be more like him? Well, it's this, because one day we will be with him and we will see him and we will understand. And I think what John is saying here is there must be a motivation that we have to get ready for that. We have to prepare ourselves for that. We have to be, it's not just a question of bumbling along now and then saying, oh, heaven, that's amazing. We should be wanting, it should be a desire of our hearts that we should be getting ready for that. I don't know whether you ever reflect in your own heart about what it will be like to be with God in glory, with him. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthian church, says this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. I think Paul's trying to paint a picture there that, do you know what, however hard we think, we will never grasp how amazing and wonderful that time, not that God is in time, but that event, that seeing God will be in our hearts. And Paul says, you know, John says, as a consequence of that, you should be wanting, motivated to be more like him. But of course, there is a not yet for which we're getting ready, and we are, and we should be getting ready. There should be a present reality to our hearts now. Now, Eugene Peterson, when he does his translation in the Message Bible on this verse, says this, all of us who look forward to his coming, stay ready with the glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own. Now, that which we have to look forward to should indeed be a real motivator for the way that we live and conduct ourselves now and today. It should be driving what I'm thinking, what I'm doing, what my ambitions are, what my motivations are, what my desires are, how I spend my money, how I spend my time, how I live my life, to want to please him, to want to please our loving Heavenly Father, to want to be more like, to sound like, to look like, as far as we can, our loving Heavenly Father. Fanny Crosby wrote a hymn which we often sing in church when we've been together, the hymn Blessed Assurance. And that hymn picks up, I think, very much the sense of the now and the not yet in our hearts and lives. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine now. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. So that which we enjoy now and experience now is a foretaste of that which is to come. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. God has bought us. It's another way of looking at the relationship we have with God as our Father. Born of his Spirit, that's the way it comes about. Washed in his blood. Perfect submission. So I live now in submission to him. Perfect delight He is the delight of my life. Visions of rapture, that future look burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. We have a loving Heavenly Father who lavishes a great love upon us. And our response to that, as well as praise and wonder, is to think, to contemplate what is to come, and to live now in the reality of that, that our lives would be good children of a loving Heavenly Father.
Well, thank you, Guy. That's just really lovely to hear what you've shared there from God's Word. And let's hope that we do hear it and apply it to our lives. Now, at this point, we have a video package that's been prepared for us by Phil Green. Phil is involved in a charity called A Little Bit of Hope. It's an organization that we support and follow and pray for as a church. And we've got an update now that is going to be brought to us now. So Phil and Ivan are going to bring us the latest news from Uganda.
Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to share a little about the impact of COVID-19 on Buthelezi District in rural Uganda, and what the A Little Bit of Hope team there has been doing to support the community during these difficult days. A Little Bit of Hope is a small charity that supports a range of community development projects, which all aim to help people to overcome the hurdles that trap them in poverty. We have a number of programs that promote education, improve health, increase economic stability, and empower vulnerable women. We so appreciate the support that so many of you have given to the people of Buthelezi District over the past 9 years, and those of you who have stepped up with additional support during these particularly difficult times. The good news is that lockdown in Uganda seems to have done a good job at containing the virus, but the impacts of lockdown have been serious. In a country where extreme poverty is widespread and there is next to no social welfare system to provide a safety net, the impact on some families could still be devastating. Earlier this week, I was able to interview Ivan, who is the director of A Little Bit of Hope in Uganda. Sadly, the internet in rural Uganda isn't always the best. That said, neither is mine in Stansted Mount Fitchett. So I apologise that you're not able to see him, but hopefully, with the help of subtitles, you'll be able to follow what he's saying. Hello, Ivan, and thank you so much for joining us and helping us understand better the impact of lockdown in rural Uganda. Let's begin with food. Around the world, starvation is now a big concern. Is food shortage a problem in Buthelezi?
People living on their daily income cannot be able to work now. They are no longer working, and meaning that they cannot be able to earn to earn money that can enable them to buy food. So it's one of the biggest challenges as a result of the lockdown. People cannot easily buy food, and the prices have also gone high. Almost some of the prices have gone a quarter way of the normal price before. So accessing food is one of the challenges here, say, in Buthelezi.
It's hard to imagine the feeling of insecurity and helplessness faced by those who live day to day when it comes to their income and expenditure. Now, can you tell us a little about the impact of school closures? Because schools have now been closed for several months now in Uganda, haven't they?
As one of the measures that were put in for this COVID-19, schools here, even in Uganda and Buthelezi, were closed down. But the implication that it is producing as a result of them being closed down is that there is right now so many teenage pregnancies. Young girls who were supposed to be at school are getting pregnant. And also there are issues of domestic violence, child abuse. Families, some of the children are battered by family members as a result of the lockdown in these families. So the closure of schools have got that very big impact onto the young girls.
That's awful. And we hope we can be part of putting support in place for those who have suffered in so many ways. It's good news, though, that as of yet, COVID-19 hasn't spread in Buthelezi. But had there been other health problems associated with lockdown?
there are also other health implications as a result of the lockdown. One of it is that we have had issues of the HIV positive patients not easily traveling to the health centers to get medication because of the ban on motorbikes, which is the most common means of transport here in Utareja, to carry people to the hospital. So you find that some of the members have gone on missing days which they are supposed to go and pick their pills to take. And also we have had issues of mothers, some of them almost delivering on their way, some of them delivering from home as a result of lockdown. And this is still attached to transport. With one ambulance in the hospital, it cannot move and pick everyone wherever he or she is. So it has had that impact onto the life of people here in Utareja.
There are just so many different ways that lockdown causes challenges, isn't there? Now, a little bit of hope for being at the heart of the district's response to COVID-19. Can you tell us some of the ways you've been supporting the community over the past couple of months?
We have been able to support boreholes that are helping people get clean water. We have been able to support the hospital. We equipped the isolation unit with mattresses, buckets, sandals, and all beddings, and also the protective wears for the clinicians in the hospital. We also fixed one of the longest problems they have had, and that is the water. We fixed running water in the hospital, and they were very happy and excited.
And it's still feeling that
it's very, very
hot. We are thankful for a little bit of hope for the support.
So you are able to use the tab now?
Yes.
We're the first organization in the district to procure a thermometer gun for the hospital in Busore, and that was really very, very good support. Alongside sanitizers, liquid soap, washing facilities that we have donated to the entire community of Utareja. We also supported people with food. So far up to now, we have given over 10,000 kilograms of food. We first gave 3,000. Of recent, we have just given 7,000, and we are yet to continue giving more food. That has really been of help as a result of a little bit of hope. We also sensitized the community, made the community aware about COVID-19 and coronavirus. And this has been as an effort by the team here in Uganda.
That's all so encouraging to hear. Thank you, Ivan, for what you and the team are doing. Let me just highlight some of what Ivan has just shared. I love it that while the team are busy preparing the hospital in case there's an outbreak in the district, that simultaneously they are also educating tens of thousands of people to reduce the chance that the virus will spread in the area. And in the UK, we've been crazily washing our hands for the past few months now. So it's hard to imagine what it was like when you can't even access water easily. So it's great that 6 boreholes have been fixed that will help 20,000 people have easier access to water. And experts are now worried that in the continent of Africa, more people could die of starvation as a result of lockdown than from the virus itself. So it's a real concern. So it's great that the team have been able to distribute 10,000 kilograms of food to vulnerable families. That's a lot of food. And our school farms, our school farms enable pupils in about 50 schools to have school dinners. As schools close down, our team immediately started working with teachers and parents and some pupils in a social distancing way to make sure that the fields were still planted, so that come harvest time, they would be producing food. And if the schools are not back by then, they will be able to distribute the food into the community. So thank you so much for enabling all these things to happen. But Ivan, before you go, could you just share a little bit about your plans for the next few weeks?
Yeah, in the next few weeks, we are also studying the situation of this virus and how the spread is going to be. But our plans is to continue supporting families, vulnerable families with food, more food supplies to them. Secondly, we want to do an awareness campaign, sensitization of the community about teenage pregnancies and the issue of domestic violence. We are planning to go through, to use the radio stations. We want to use the megaphone on the ambulance and moving around the entire district, sharing with them about the issue of domestic violence and teenage pregnancies. We also want to produce and give out to girls in houses, in all the families in Butareja that we can be able to reach, more so vulnerable families. And also, we are moving towards maturity of food in the school farm. We want to continue monitoring and laying down plans and strategies of how we are going to manage the food if harvest period reaches before they open schools. Those are some of the key things that are on our plan to do next.
Thank you for joining us, Ivan, and opening our eyes to what all this means in a very different context to our own. In some ways, there are so many similarities to what we're facing in the UK. In other ways, it's so different. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to share what A Little Bit of Hope are doing at this time. And thank you for your support. And there are two ways that you can continue to support the people of Buthaleja District. The firstly is please do pray. I mentioned earlier how Uganda is on a knife edge at the moment as to whether the virus will suddenly spread or whether their lockdown efforts have actually been really successful at containing the virus. Please do pray that it wouldn't spread. And secondly, we would love it if you would consider supporting Ivan and the Little Bit of Hope team financially. The more money we raise, the more food we can buy, the more boreholes we can fix, the more people we can help get their HIV/AIDS medicine, and the more people we can educate to reduce the risk of violence, to reduce the spread of the virus. So if you are able to give, please do so by going to alittlebitofhope.org/give. Thank you once again for all you have done to support the people of Buthaleja District over the past 9 years. And thank you for listening. And I hope that one day soon I'll be able to see you again.
Well, I hope you found that helpful and a real insight into the situation that's part of the same world that we're in, but life is so very different. And yet in other ways, it's very similar. And we're going to pray about that in a moment or two. But just to say that we have got family news, it's been circulated around. There's things to pray about. One or two people mentioned there an update of the news from Andrew and Sousan in Lyon, and also a reminder to continue to pray for Bethesda Eventide Homes. So at this point, we are going to pray. So please join me at this point as we pray as well also. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for the work of A Little Bit of Hope and for that insight that we've had this morning through that video that's been presented for us. Lord, we do pray for that situation. We thank you for the wonderful way in which A Little Bit of Hope has been able to bring positive change into the lives of so many, to work alongside your people in supporting the community there, and we thank you for the very real improvements that have taken place. Lord, we confess that there's much in life that we just take so much for granted, and we go to the tap, we turn it on, we expect the water to flow, we expect it to be safe. And Lord, we have just been reminded this morning of how fortunate we are, and what a difference a simple thing like water can make freely available. We thank you for those boreholes that have been repaired. We thank you for the provision of running water in that hospital and for the joy that it brought. And Lord, we pray that you'll continue to give wisdom to a little bit of Hope and Ivan as the director there as to how they can best use the resources that they have to bring improvement into people's lives. We thank you for all that medical equipment and protection equipment that has been able to be provided. And Lord, we do pray for Uganda at this time, that as the virus continues to work, we ask, Lord, that you will have your hand upon this particular community that might know protection, and that you will help them with the challenges that they will face. Lord, we do pray for Ivan and the responsibilities that he has. We ask, Lord, that you'll be with him and the team. We pray, Lord, for the virus to be restrained. We ask, O God, that you will meet the needs that they have for resources so that they can, in your name, bring improvement into the lives of others. So, Lord, we thank you for this ministry and we commit them to you today. And Father, we thank you too for the news that we've heard from Andrew and Sousan about their ministry in Lyon. We know, Lord, that as a country, France has also known great challenges, and we pray that as the restrictions are lifted there and that there is greater freedom of movement, that you will guide and help Andrew and Sousan in the opportunities that they might have to speak to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to pray for our nation. We continue to ask that you will guide and help those in leadership, that you will help them to follow advice, that they might be wise in the decisions that they make, that they might be clear in the way in which they communicate the implementation of these changes. Lord, we do ask that you will help them in a very special way, and help us, Lord, as we try to come to terms with the unfolding changes that we're living through. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be patient and to be understanding. And we pray, Lord, that this virus may be contained and that it might not rise up again. Lord, we pray for those who are in hospital today. We pray for those who are recovering, perhaps at home. Lord, remember those who have lost loved ones. Lord, we bring them to you and we pray that they might know your strength and your comfort. We praise you, Lord, for your help given to Bethesda Eventide Homes. We pray, Lord, that you'll continue to give them energy, freshness. We pray, Lord, for the residents, that you will continue to sustain them, that you'll encourage each one of them this morning. And Father, we just pray that as decisions need to be made by them and others about the steps that are taken to open things up in the coming days, that you will just give us your help and your wisdom. And so, Father, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us. We thank you for your grace, which is sufficient for every situation. And we pray, Lord, for ourselves that in this coming week, that you will help us in the challenges that we face, that we might live faithfully for you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So that brings us pretty much to the end of our time today. I trust you've enjoyed being in worship with us. Andrew, it's been good to serve with you today. And pleasure as always, and we hope that what we've done is a real encouragement to you. We're going to play out with a song by the Wren Collective called My Lighthouse. Do feel free to sing along with that. But before we do that, we'll just say goodbye to everyone now and wish you a great week. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to finish with a word of benediction from the letter to Jude. So let's pray together, shall we? And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you home. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore.
Here we go.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth don't hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. See this faithfulness, my lighthouse. Through the storm.